Before I share the message, let's bow in prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to stir our hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending Jesus to the earth to die for our sins and give us hope that we wouldn't have otherwise. We thank you, Lord, that you care about us and that you've called us to know you and to worship you. And we ask you, Father, as we are present here right now, to hear your word and to worship you, that you would stir within each one of us, Lord, this message of hope that comes through Christ. Please speak to each of our hearts that we might truly yield and surrender ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you have ever rafted or canoed down the Current River in Missouri? Current River. Okay, how many of you have been rafting at all, ever? Not very many adventurous people in here. Okay, some rafters in here. When I was 19 years old, I went rafting down the Current River and with some friends. I don't remember exactly how far along we were, because it was quite a number of years ago, but we came to a big sandbar around this bend. The water on the outside was extremely fast, but so as we came around the bend, we stopped there. We were going to sit and, you know, eat lunch and rest for a little while. As I'm sitting there watching, right along the edge of the on the other side of the river, there were some shoes. They just come floating along, and you didn't think much of it. Next thing you know, there was a cooler or two, and as these things just keep floating by, I'm thinking, what in the world is going on? Someone obviously dumped their canoe or raft or whatever the case is. But in just a couple of minutes, I'm the only one sitting there, and all of a sudden, I saw this person just kind of bobbing down. That's kind of weird for someone to just be floating along, and the next thing you know, they're gone. And then all of a sudden, you see the hands flailing, and the person's up again. And I'm going, does everybody see this? I didn't talk to anybody else. I just jumped in the river and went as hard as I could right across the other side, not really knowing the danger I was involved. Found a tree, grabbed a tree, and waited. And this person, this little girl, she bobbed a couple more times. I kept thinking, hope she bobs just at the right time. Well, she bobbed at just the right time. I grabbed her, held her, and then I'm thinking, what am I going to do now? I'm holding her. The current's taking us downriver. It takes me about 10 minutes, hard as I possibly could swim, to get back to the soundbar. And the whole time, I had no idea what I was doing. And most of you don't know this, but I am not a swimmer. I have no business trying to rescue anybody. But in this particular case, I just happened to be present. I happened to notice, and I happened to jump in without really thinking too much about it. When I got back, I was exhausted, and, you know, the parents finally came around the bend, and, you know, they were talking to her and all that other stuff. I don't remember exactly everything that happened at that point, because I was pretty tired. But this got me thinking about my life and your life today. You know, for some of you, your part in the story of your life, you are the rescuer. You are the maybe you're on vacation, and you observe something that, you know, there's some need or there's some urgency. You're just that person. You just happen to be in the right place. Maybe a vacation or maybe at work or maybe just driving down the road, seeing someone on the side of the road. And all of a sudden you see that there is something wrong and you are probably the only one who's available to help. Not knowing exactly what the dangers are, not really being aware of all the circumstances, not really having a lot of time to process it, you jump in to help. Maybe even at some personal risk. Well, all of us know some people, or all of us come across people in life every day. People who need encouragement. Sometimes they just need a helping hand. And you might be the one person that God has put in just the right place to help that person out. But some of the people that you come across in life, whether it's family or a coworker or a close friend, some of them need rescued. Some of them are overcome by sin, and they need more than just a helping hand. And if you're going to help them, it may cost you. It may cost you that friendship. It may be a risk. It may risk your time or your money, maybe even your reputation. In Paul's letter to the Galatians, he warned us when you're going to help other people. He warned us to be careful when we're helping other people who are overcome by sin. And this is what he said in Galatians 6:2. He said, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Now, this is true of another believer that you might run across, but it's also true of an unbeliever, somebody who doesn't have the hope that you do, doesn't know Christ. In all of us in this room, we can think of all kinds of people and circumstances that we run across every day. Maybe it's a friend of yours who's running around on their spouse. And deep down, you know it's wrong. You know, they talk about it and you just keep your mouth shut. And you're like, I don't know if I should say anything. It's not my place. But you know what? You might be the only one to try to rescue them when they've been overcome by sin. Maybe you see somebody at work who's stealing from the boss or stealing from the company. And you know what? If you turn them in, they're probably going to get fired. But they are overcome by sin, and you might be that person that needs to confront them. Maybe there's a teenager in the youth group or someone in your family. You know, they used to be bubbly and full of life, and now all of a sudden they're dark. And they're sad, and they're depressed, and they're angry all the time. You're thinking, there is something not right here. Maybe they're overcome by sin. Maybe it's just discouragement, or maybe it's a lack of faith. Maybe they're just wore out. All of us can probably name a person who's been overcome by sin, overcome by circumstances of life. And you are just one person. I don't know if you guys saw these when you're walking in. Thank you, Angie. Where's Angie? Thank you, Angie. Angie Davis said, hey, why don't you put that on a business card? And I put the verses right on the back. There's a bunch of them on that table back there. Just as a reminder, yes, you are just one person. But you might be the person to help just one other. Maybe your part of the story is that you are the one who is overcome by sin. Maybe you're here today by chance. Maybe you're here just to enjoy seeing your kids or grandkids up on stage. You might be the one drowning. Your head is going up and down. Your arms are flailing and you're doing everything you can in your own strength and power to rescue yourself. But the current of life and the sin is too strong. You can't get a grip. You can't get free. Maybe you're overcome by discouragement today. Maybe you're overcome by heartbreak, or maybe it's circumstances beyond your control. And for many, maybe it's a health issue. Or maybe it's a negative attitude or an attitude of unforgiveness that you're holding on to, and it has just gripped you. One thing's for certain, I, like all of you, I'm no different. We all face strong temptations and difficulties in life. And sometimes we face circumstances that are beyond our control, but oftentimes our problems are caused by sin. James put it this way in his letter, temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. And what that word means, entice, it means like a baited hook. There's enticements. It's a baited hook that's going to capture you, drag you away. He says, these desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. Now, this is bad news. All of us feel that strong pull that our sinful desires, our sinful nature pulls us in. All of us, we're all exactly like that. And the really bad news is that when we're enticed and we take a bite of that hook and we're dragged away, we are actually being separated from Christ. The one person who died for our sins, the one person who loves you more than anyone else, the one person who dearly wants a relationship with you. That's the really bad news. But this is the really good news. Jesus is our rescuer. He's the one that sees what's going on. He's going to jump in the river. He's going to swim across as hard as he can. He's going to find a branch. He's going to see you struggling. He's going to grab you. He's not going to let you go. And he's going to swim as hard as he can and get you across to the other side to safety. Because he knows you. And you know what? He knows the particular sins that you and I struggle with. Each one of us.
Because of His great compassion and His mercy, He chose to become human being so that He could identify with us and so that we could identify with Him. And even more so, that He could ultimately die on the victorious cross for our sins. Jesus said that when He died on the cross, that He set us free from the kingdom of darkness. He set us free from sin. To put it simply, sin, if you could picture a throne right on the top of your heart, in your mind's eye, and you can just imagine that sin sits there on the throne. He is king. He is the boss. He's ruling your choices day in, day out. Sin sits on the throne of your heart. Sin rules and has its way. And only the blood of Jesus Christ can overthrow sin. And only the Holy Spirit can come and sit on the throne of your heart and control your life and give you direction every single day. It's the blood of Jesus that saves us, that rescues us from sin. And so maybe you're asking here today, you know, maybe there's just one person here today who's wondering, how do I make Jesus king? How do I make Him Lord? How do I kick sin to the curb permanently? Well, all of us who are Christians can testify that sin will not go away. It will remain. But you know what? It's no longer on the throne. No longer on the throne. You're not going to be sinless, but sin is no longer going to be king. And what does it take? It takes faith. You have to acknowledge. You know, today and throughout this week, what are we talking about? Jesus is healer, bread of life, the light of life. He's the only way. He's fully man, fully God. Jesus Christ, the Creator, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is our Messiah and your Savior. He is our only hope. And if you can believe that in your heart today, and you would take that belief and you will acknowledge your need for Him. That's the other thing that's so important. You know, if you are in the water and you're drowning and you're flailing, you're up and down above the surface, guess what? If you don't know it, you're not going to reach out and get that hand when you need it. You have to know that you need Jesus. Now, the thing of it is most of us don't realize how bad we are. We don't know how bad our sin is because we look at our neighbor and we say, our neighbor, whoa. You know, a lady that I know, we've been trying to help, she went to rehab for 4 days. And she came back and said, boy, those people are really messed up. And I'm thinking, what were you doing in rehab? I love her to death, but I'm serious. Sometimes you go to a place and you're thinking, well, I'm not nearly as bad as that person. And you know what? That's what you do with your neighbor and the people you work with. I don't cheat. I don't lie. I don't steal. I don't do all those things. And you know what? We're deceiving ourselves because sin is awful. Even just one sin that you're cherishing and holding in your heart separates you from the love of Christ as a Christian or as a non-Christian. Next, besides faith, we have to confess that faith. It does no good to hold that faith into your heart. Do you understand that? That your faith in Jesus Christ must be expressed with words and with actions. Paul said this in Romans 10. He said, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. You must have faith and believe. You must have a need for Jesus. And you must realize how awful your sin is. Then you must confess that. Openly declare who He is. And part of this expression of your faith is to turn away from your sins. Peter, when he preached the very first sermon, said, repent. And repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins might be washed away. Repeatedly, we're called to repent. True repentance leads a person to say, I have sinned. And then they make a 180. And they change their direction. Repentance is not asking Jesus to forgive us for our sins with the intent of sinning again. You ask Jesus, you know, most of us ask Jesus to forgive us. And you know what we're really asking? To excuse us. You just don't know how hard it is. And if you're asking Jesus to excuse your sin, you're not being forgiven. True repentance is when you ask Him to forgive you and you change direction. Repentance leads us to a godly life, and it leads us to get rid of those sinful habits. And lastly, you express your faith in Jesus Christ through confession, through repentance, and through baptism. When the Apostle Paul was just seized by Jesus on the road to Damascus, he was a murderer. He was a persecutor. He hated Jesus. And when he turned his life around, finally he got led to Damascus, and Ananias came up to him and taught him the truth. And he said, "What are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized. Have your sins washed away, calling on the name of the Lord." You know, this is what it means to make Jesus king of your life. Faith in your heart expressed through confession and repentance and baptism. So where are you today? Are you barely keeping your head above water? Do the desire, your natural desires sit on the throne of your heart? You know, every impulse that you have, every fear that you have grips you. The negativity or your appetites. If you want to be rescued from sin, you have to do something that you don't want to do. And that's I'm speaking to all of us as Christians. And if you're not a Christian yet, I'm speaking to you as a non-Christian. You have to do something that you don't want to do. You have to stop trying to fix the problem yourself. You have to stop trying to be better. Stop trying to be good. You can't defeat your sinful desires. They're never going to relent. Satan, your enemy, is never going to just let you enter into the kingdom of heaven and enjoy that life in the kingdom of heaven without any difficulties. He's going to keep coming, and your sinful desire is going to keep coming. You can't improve your sin. You can't limit your sin. You have to crucify your sins on the cross of Jesus. It is only the blood of Jesus Christ that can forgive sins. And it's only the blood of Jesus Christ that we have hope. Paul has put it this way in Galatians 2:20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Christ who lives in me. So I live this earthly life by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I don't know about you, but that is the good news. And that is good news I embrace and accept. How about you? Well, if you're here today, I would ask you, like Ananias asked Paul, what are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized. Get up and confess Christ. Get up, return away and repent of your sins. Make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Now, I've written out this prayer, and I'd like all of you to pray it with me, okay, as we close. You can pray it silently. You can pray it out loud. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, I believe You are the Son of God and that You died on the cross for my sins. I know that I need You. And I know sin sits on the throne of my heart, and only Your blood has the power to remove my sins. I believe in my heart that God raised You from the dead, and I surrender my life to You. I am turning away this day from my desires and turning to You. Please give me the courage to openly declare what I have just prayed and to submit to the precious waters of baptism. In Your holy name, Jesus, amen and amen. You know, if you are here today and you have accepted the gospel into your heart and you believe Jesus and you want to embrace that, when we stand up, we're going to sing as a closing song. And we're going to have communion here in a few minutes right after. But if you are ready to make that next step and surrender your life to Jesus, come find me or come find one of the elders. Take that step today. Okay?